I just want to speak to us just for a few moments this morning. And this is the time in our service where we take something out of the Bible and we just kind of look at it and talk about it. And this morning, I've entitled today, because it's Baptism Sunday, what I'm going to speak to you today about is called I Will Follow. I'm not going to break into Sister Act songs, so do not worry, okay? But it's called I Will Follow. And I want to tell you just a couple of things that happened to me as way of intro when I was younger. The first thing, when I was 16 years old, I decided I wanted to go on what we call a mission. So I went away for 2 weeks. We went to Bible college for the first week. And in the second week, we went into Liverpool. And we just did loads of stuff on the streets and loads of youth events. And it was fantastic. I was 16. I had no idea what I was doing. Okay. But they gave us these really fashionable, lovely blue jumpers to wear. Okay, and which had Battle for Britain written on it, and they were just so gorgeous. Okay, people keep putting things on Facebook to do with it at the moment, and I'm like, please take those down. And but we had these blue jumpers, and the whole team, so there was something like 80 of us, and the whole team had the same jumper on all the week. I mean, they stank by the end of it because they only gave us one. Okay. We were trying to scrub them in toilets at night and all that kind of stuff. But they stank but that was fine. But we were going to Mattersea Bible College and me and my mum were in the back of the car and my auntie Linda and Uncle Barry were in the front of the car. So my dad couldn't take me for whatever reason. They said, listen, we will take you, Joe, and drop you off. Now, the one thing I knew about my auntie and uncle, because we went on holiday together quite a bit, is that they always argued when it came to car journeys. So my Uncle Barry would be in the passenger seat, my auntie would be driving, and he would be one of those backseat drivers. So he would tell her everything she was doing wrong, and he would also tell her the way to go. We always got lost when we went with my auntie and uncle, okay? My dad used to go mad in the car, because like they would always say they would lead, and we would have to follow them, and we would follow them down that many dead ends, wrong roads, have to do U-turns. It'd be like a convoy of 5 or 6 cars, and it was just incredible. So we were going down to Mattersea from Halifax. And we got to the point where I saw my Uncle Barry get the map out and it was like, oh no. So he got this map out and he started to say, we need to go this way. And my auntie's going, no, we need to go this way. And he's going, no, we need to go this way. And so the car in front of us, I have no idea whose car that was at all. Okay. But I joke, this was a joke. All right. And I thought that my auntie would realize this. I jokingly said, Auntie Linda, there's a blue jumper in the back of the car that we're all wearing. Follow it. Because it'll be going to the same place. Because who else would have that color blue jumper? And so my auntie then proceeded to ignore my uncle and follow the car in the front. So I'm in the back and I turn to my mum. I'm like, did she actually believe me? And my mum was looking out of the window and she turned to me. There were tears streaming down her face as she was killing herself laughing because my auntie believed me and began to follow the car in front. We had no idea who they were. They took us in the completely wrong direction. By the time we realized, okay, we were completely late for where we had to get to. And my Uncle Barry still had to get out the map and he had to tell us where to go by not knowing where we were, which is always interesting. And the second thing that happened to me when I was a teenager, I went on a school week away. Anyone else do that when they were? Yeah. Okay. And it's not like PGL like you get these days, where you get to sleep in nice beds and you kind of get to go and do cool things. We went on walks every day. And I can't quite remember where we went, but I was in Mrs. Barrett's group. And she was an Irish lady who was my Spanish teacher. It all got very confusing. And so I was in her group and we had to wear, it was absolutely teeming it down with rain. And we had to wear those nice yellow trouser jacket combo. I don't know if any of you got those when you were in school. Like they'd been worn 100 times before. They stank. They were uncomfortable. But they stopped you getting wet and walking boots. And we were walking and we had been walking for what seemed like an eternity. And so we turned to our teacher and we said to her, Miss, where are we going? And she says, got the map here, guys. It's okay. We're following this route here. And so we all gathered round. Like, geography was not my strong point at all. Mind you, Spanish wasn't either, but that's a whole other story. But we kind of looked at the map, and we all looked at it and we said, Miss, what are we following? She says, this road here, look, we're going up here. And she was like pointing to all the scenery, and this is where we're going on the map. And we just, all of us kind of at once, just kind of took a little bit of the paper as we began to turn it round. And we just went, Miss, it's upside down. We have no idea where we are, do we? And when we looked at the map the right way up, we realized that she had, honestly, it would be a nightmare today, wasn't it? In the 80s, it was all right. You could lose kids and it really didn't matter. You did that today, there would be a little bit more said about it, okay? And we had to try and find a phone box because mobiles weren't out then. And so we had to try and find a phone box to phone another teacher who was good at geography, okay, who could come in his car and find us. You see, who you follow is really important. Who we follow is really, really important. And I want to read some bits out of the Bible from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. And it says this, I'm reading from a translation called the Passion Translation. And it says this, the very next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. That's John the Baptist, okay? As Jesus was walking right past them, John, gazing upon him, pointed to Jesus and said, look, there's God's Lamb. And as soon as John's two disciples heard this, they immediately left John and began to follow a short distance behind Jesus. Then Jesus turned around and saw that they were following him, and he asked them, what do you want? They responded, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Jesus answered, come and discover for yourself. So they went with him and saw where he was staying. And since it was late in the afternoon, they spent the rest of the day with Jesus. One of the two disciples who heard John's words and began to follow Jesus was a man named Andrew. He went and found his brother, Simon, and told him, we found the Anointed One, which translated is the Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet him. When Jesus gazed upon Andrew's brother, he prophesied to him, you are Simon, and your father's name is John, but from now on you will be called Cephas, which means Peter, the rock. Do you know, ever since Jesus was on the earth and started his ministry, he called people to follow him. He called the disciples, come and follow me. He called to people in the crowd, come and follow me. And the word to follow means this, to act according to pay close attention to, or to walk behind. And what I want to do this morning is just bring three very simple things out of what happened in this bit in John and what it means to follow Jesus. Because those who are being baptized, and the main part of this morning was their story, and we always wanted it to be like that. But this morning, those who are being baptized, they have decided to follow Jesus. And you've heard God call to them in many different ways. For some of them, they've known this all of their life. And I've said to a few of them this morning, if you're someone who has known God all of your life, be really thankful. Be really thankful that you've got to know him all of your life. And for others, they've come to a point after certain things have happened in life where they decide to follow Jesus. When Jesus called the disciples, these were people with livelihoods, with families, with a way of life where they were staying and where they lived. And they were told to leave it all and follow him. And that is exactly what they did. They left everything behind and they went and they followed Jesus. And what I want to do this morning very quickly is look at three traits of a follower. And those of you who are going through baptism, listen to this, because this is what it means to follow Jesus. Maybe for some of us who have maybe been in church a long time, let's remind ourselves this morning that this is what it means to follow Jesus. And then maybe for those of you who have never been in a church before, you know, we need to come and hear maybe for the first time what it means to follow Jesus. So the first thing that I want to say is that followers walk behind those they are following. We're told in this bit of the Bible that Andrew walked behind Jesus. When he heard who he was, he walked behind him. And when he did that, Jesus called him to follow him. Do you know what? Jesus called people to follow him, to walk with him, and to follow where he would go. And the disciples did this very physically. So when Jesus then walked to another town, they would walk with him or they would walk behind him. But they walked with him. They followed him. I was brought up in Halifax in West Yorkshire, which is quite hilly. And when I was younger, we used to get snow blizzards in the winter, like the proper stuff. Okay, none of this, it snows one day and it's gone tomorrow. I mean, this was here for weeks, okay? And it was proper blizzards and, you know, the wind was with it and it, like the snow would fall sideways as it came down. Have you been in one of those blizzards? And I can remember once walking with my dad and with my mum, and we used to walk to church every Sunday morning. It used to take us about an hour to get there. And we were walking and there was one of these blizzards and I was holding my mum's hand. And we were walking down this really steep bank, and I couldn't see my dad in front of me. But what I could see was where he walked. And this was me and my mum. We kept our heads down, and we looked for the footprints in front of us. Because we knew who was in front of us. And we knew he wouldn't lead us anywhere that was going to hurt us or damage us. And so we followed him. And I didn't follow my dad because I could physically see him, because the snowstorm was that bad. I followed the footsteps. I had little feet at the time. My dad had big feet. And I followed the footsteps that he made in front of me. And you know what? When we come and we choose to follow God, sometimes we can't always see him. Sometimes circumstances come and things happen and we think, where are you, God? And at those times, you know, let's just follow his footsteps. He has big feet. We have little feet. He'll show us the way to go, and he'll show us how we're meant to walk and where we're meant to go and what we're meant to do. You see, his path is always trustworthy, and it will lead us into life. In the book of John, further on, in chapter 10, verse 10, it says this, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, this is Jesus talking, that you might have life and have it in all of its fullness. Do you know what? As I have followed God, I've been a Christian since I was 4 years old, and I recommitted my life to God when I was 12, got baptized when I was 14. And as I have followed God, sometimes it's just been, I've been walking in the footsteps that he's given me in front of me. And those of you who are being baptized, it doesn't mean that we're always, that life is always going to be perfect, but it does mean we always have someone to follow. This morning, I want to put it to you, friends, that when we follow, followers walk behind. The second thing that I noticed in this bit of the Bible in John chapter 1 is this, that followers bring others onto the journey. We don't walk alone. We're not in this by ourselves. When Jesus called Andrew, Andrew did two things. The first thing is he followed him without hesitation. He didn't even think about it. He was just, I know who you are, Jesus, and you're worth following. You're trustworthy, so I'm going to follow you. But the second thing he did was he went and got his brother. And I want to say to us in here this morning who may be already following God, when was the last time you brought someone else on the journey with you? When was the last time you got hold of someone else's hand and you introduced them to this person you have found called Jesus, and you let them walk alongside you and find out who he is as well? And if you know anything about the Bible, you will know that the apostle Peter was the one that Jesus then said to him later on, you are Peter, and on this rock, on the confession of what you have said about me, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against you. Peter was the person who preached the gospel, and 3,000 people heard and found that they wanted to follow this Jesus as well in one day. Peter did amazing things, but he did it because Andrew went and got him. And I want to say to us this morning that if we are truly going to follow God, part of following him is going to be going and grabbing the hand of someone else and taking them on the journey with you. Grabbing the hand maybe of your neighbor or your friend. I don't actually mean literally. You don't have to literally hold their hand, okay? They may not like you doing that. But let's just find some people that we can bring on the journey with us. As the disciples followed, others joined them. There's a story in the New Testament of a woman at the well where Jesus told her everything about her life. She went and told everyone in her village, and they all came to hear what he had to say. If you've heard of a man called Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus was not living the way that he should, and Jesus talked to him and Jesus showed him who he was. And then Zacchaeus went and he found other people, and he would introduce them to Jesus as he paid them back what he had stolen from them. When we follow God, we should be telling others along the way. Those being baptized today are told what God has done. And for all of them, there will have been someone who brought them, someone who helped them, whether it was a parent or a friend or a youth pastor or whoever it was, there was someone who introduced them to Jesus. Part of our job and part of our mandate as a Christian is to find other people that we can take on the journey with us. And then the third thing is simply this, that followers need to act like their followers. Do you know what? When the way we live when we follow Christ is so important. We should be people who follow the way the Bible tells us to. When we talk about the word follow today, it probably means something very different than what it would have meant 20 years ago. Because there's this little thing that we have today called Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, okay? There are these little things that are just, you know, just permeating into becoming part of society. And when we talk about following, we might, you know, things, I think if you talk to a young crowd, they would instantly think Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those other ones that I'm not cool enough to know the name of, okay? And also, you know, all of a sudden the word follow is very different. It's have you liked someone's post? Or have you commented on it? Or have you put an emoji? What are they? Okay, have you put an emoji on it? And I don't understand what most of them are, so I steer clear. How many people have you got following you on your social media? Or how many people have liked the comment you've made or the photo that you've put on? Following today is very different. And I don't think God wants followers like that. I don't think he wants people that are just going to like what he says some days and give it the thumbs down the next day. I don't think he wants people that are just going to comment every now and again on a post that, you know, he might put up. I don't think God wants that. I think he wants people who are going to go, do you know what? I'm going to follow you, God. And if that means me doing life differently, I'm going to do it differently. If that means that I'm going to walk differently, if that means I'm going to give up that habit, if that means I'm going to change that attitude, if that means that I'm going to do something different, God, I'm going to follow you. That's the kind of following that we're talking about here when we're talking about baptism. The kind of following where you go, actually, God, if you don't want me to live that way, I'm going to give that up. If you don't want me to do that, I'm not going to do it. Just because the crowd are doing it doesn't mean I'm going to do it. When Jesus called people to follow him, he picked them out of the crowd. And that's what's happened to every person that is going to be baptized this morning. They've been picked out of the crowd. And they've decided, I'm going to walk differently than maybe other people, or I'm going to walk differently than I have done in my past. And when we're baptized, we say that this is the day that we walk differently. This is the day that we decide, actually, God, you are more important than what anybody else says. It's you who is important. It's you I'm going to follow. It's not about copying. Copying is very different to following. You know, those of you who are being baptized, you don't need to come into church and copy the church and copy other people. Although people, you know, in church are living good lives and they're following God and it's fantastic. Be you, because the world needs you. God hasn't called you to become one of a clone. He hasn't called you to come. And the way you fit into church life is not that you become like everyone else. The way you fit into church life is when you follow God and do what he has called you to do. So I want to say to you guys who are going through baptism today, be yourself. Let God do something with you, because you have different gifts to the person sat next to you. You have different qualities to the person who, you know, we don't need a room full of Joes. Oh, Lord, help us. That would be terrible. We don't need a room full of, you know, I'll get up and I'll be loud and all of that kind of stuff. We don't need a room full of that. Actually, what we need is people with different gifts and different talents. Because that's what makes the church up. And so when you're baptized today, we're not calling you to copy. We're calling you to follow. Follow him. Get to know him. Get the Bible out. Find out what he's like. Because the pages of that book tell us what he's like. Find God for yourself. And in the midst of that, we all help one another, absolutely. But today, God is calling you to follow him, not to copy everyone else.